Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Alrighty. Can't believe that this is sort of like our last sort of normal, if I can call it that, service before the end of the year. Next week we have our carol service and then Christmas Day. So it's kind of an opportunity for us just to reflect a little bit on 2016. So the title of my message this morning is 2016, What Did It Look Like? What did it look like for you? And if I can just throw a couple of questions out there, like, can you actually identify specifically in a particular area of your life change that's occurred? As I keep asking wherever I go, are you more in love with Jesus today than you were this time last year or at the start of the year? And if you're not more passionate and in love with Jesus, what happened in 2016 that sort of has crept in or has happened that has changed the dynamic of your relationship with Jesus? Because the reality is, the Bible says that God is immutable. He's unchanging. So the only ones that change in all of this is you and me. And, you know, if I was to reflect on 2016, I had some phenomenal highs this year, but potentially some of the greatest challenges, and even to questioning around not my faith in terms of my belief in God, but elements of the sovereignty of God, if I can put it that way. If God's all-powerful, then how, why did this particular thing happen? And we all go through those things, and I think they're actually healthy, and it's good for us to explore that and not try to pretend or ignore it, etc. So it's been a year for me personally. It's like, what did this year look like? Well, there's some phenomenal highs, and give God all the praise and glory, and there's some intense lows, if you like, that I give God all the glory and praise. Because faith's not faith until it's tested. We don't know what we're really about until we're put in the grinder and kind of minced up and see what kind of juice comes out, aka an orange. Don't know what kind of juice is in it until it's sort of like squeezed. And so this year, I guess, felt as though I was squeezed a bit and pressed on a few sides on a personal level. And the people that are close to me, who I'm accountable to, I think we've journeyed that through together. And I thank God that I can stand here today and just give him thanks and honor. As we're told, you know, Jesus had Judas and he had a betrayer, and we should apparently thank God for our betrayers and those that let us down, because more often than not, they're the ones that help us grow and expand and become who we're meant to be and lead us into potentially the space or the opportunity that God actually wants us to move into. And if that didn't happen, we wouldn't actually be walking in that particular direction. So how have you grown this year? What's happened in your life this year? I mean, is church just kind of like a religious duty that you fulfill and you're ticking a box here this morning? Then you are living way beneath the reality of the fullness of a relationship with God than what is possible and available to you. There is a God that loves you so much, and when we engage and invite him into every area of our lives, it's quite amazing what can happen. As we are sitting here this morning, I've just been praying, God, how do you want this to be a supernatural service? How do you want to manifest your presence so that everyone here, no matter where you're at in your agreement, connection, relationship with God, that you leave this place today with just, you cannot refuse, you cannot doubt the reality of who God is because you've had some kind of personal encounter with Jesus here in this place this morning. How is that going to happen? I don't know, because we've got to just let God do what only God can do. And so as I'm speaking this morning, I just pray the Holy Spirit would just meet you exactly where you're at. That when I ask the question of where are you at and how have you grown this year, that's not a question of condemnation or to try and put something on you. It's just a challenge. And hopefully you hear the soft, gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit in your heart just going, there's more. There's more for you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. There's more. 2017. Who's going to be happy to see 2016 go? Is there anyone? Yeah, some of us are like, thank you, Jesus. Get behind me, 2016. I'm moving forward. So let's have a look at just a couple of things before we get into it. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you're not there already, I'm not sure if I mentioned that, but Philippians chapter 3. One of the things that has happened in the life of our church this year, we've grown, which is, you know, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, we want to honour God in the growth that we've seen in the life of our church. And one of the things that does come out of growth, one of the good challenges to have, is the need for more life groups. And so life groups are one of the key pivotal areas and ways in the life of our church for people to get connected and build real relationships with one another and grow in their relationship with God and others. And so we've had to start a couple of new life groups this year, and we're about to launch another one early in the new year in the Hampton area. So if you're not connected to a life group, or maybe you live close to the Hampton area, some of our groups are sort of bursting at the seams and we're needing to start more to accommodate the growth. So I just would like Malcolm and Alina to stand up, if you could please, just to embarrass this fine young couple today. Emphasize young. These guys are graciously and generously wanting to host a life group for us in the Hampton area. So they would love to meet you. If you're interested in joining their group in the new year, they're actually having an open house night on Wednesday night. And so if you would like the details of where you can go and hang out on Wednesday to find out a little bit more about what their life group will look like next year, catch them after the service, because they'd be more than happy just to let you know the details of where their house is and where you can go. But can we just thank these guys for opening their home and being willing to? So Malcolm and Alina, you can see these guys. You may be seated. And the other thing some of you may be aware is that Shawantha has been overseeing Compass Community Care, and a change of role for him is that next year he'll be moving into pastoral care role within the life of Compass Church, which has left that space within the oversight of Compass Community Care open. And so as the two boards of Compass Church and Compass Community Care, we just wanted to let you know that we're currently actively pursuing filling that lead role for Compass Community Care. And so could you please continue to pray and open to applications for that role? And you may be aware as well that within the administration side of our church, that Katie has moved into 2 days schools tour coordinator, which leaves us with 2 days a week for an admin role. So if you know of anyone that might fit that description, we've had an application already and we're going to start an interview process ASAP. And so we're looking for somebody that, we offer flexible hours. There's a clear position description around what that is, the 2 days a week. But we are looking for somebody that is bright, friendly, bubbly. Usually that person is the first point of contact for most people in contact with Compass Church and Compass Community Care. So that role kind of, there's a little bit of overlap in that. But we have a position description, as I said, and we'd love the person taking that role on to view it as a role that's going to grow and expand over the coming months and years. So if you know of anyone that might fit that description, that has great people skills, but also the relevant computer skills, and is an organised kind of person, all those things I'm not, then we would love to hear from you, provided that you're, whoever that is realises they have to work with me and Michael and a few other staff, then Jesus help you. But anyway, just wanted to put that out there. So if we could please be praying both for the Compass Community Care lead role and the admin role, that would be really cool. All right, Philippians 3 says this: not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not might count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Has anyone ever read that passage before? Heard it quoted? There is so much that we could get out of these couple of verses. But there's a couple of things I think that are relevant to us as a church community as we kind of wind up a year and look forward to a new year, 2017. And so a couple of thoughts that I've just had out of this. The first thing that I want to draw out of this is we've got notes in front of you that may or may not be helpful. But the first thing that I take out of this is that none of us have arrived. None of us have attained it all yet. If you think you have, that's a Messiah complex. And we need to have a conversation afterwards. But none of us have arrived or attained it yet. None of us have obtained the fullness of what God has for us as individuals, but also for us as a church. None of us have taken hold of that. You mean there's that wonderful question that you hear from your kids when you're on that long journey. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No. When are we going to be there? Soon. Worst thing you can say to a kid, soon. Because 30 seconds later, are we there yet? Soon's finished. Are we there yet? And it's like, the good news is for all of us is that we're not there yet. And ultimately, that doesn't happen until we're in his presence. But we've got this journey, this process of life that we are to enjoy, not endure, we're supposed to be enjoying it, that we're not there yet. That we all have some growing to do. For me, the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know. The older I get, the more of a sinner I realize I am and how far short I fall from God's perfect standard. The older I get, the more I realize I want to be more and more like Jesus, but what a long way I have to go in becoming more like Jesus, the more that I get to know Jesus. The older I get, the more I realize there's a struggle. There's a battle between what my flesh wants, what Phil wants, and what God desires for my life. There's that tension, there's that battle. The Apostle Paul said he does the things that he knows he shouldn't, he doesn't do the things he knows he should. Anyone relate to that? The Apostle Paul said that. The older I get, the more I realize that I need to keep just surrendering stuff because I just keep picking stuff up and I want to keep doing things my way. And God says, Phil, just lay it down. I've got this. No, God, you need my help. It's like, put it down. And then I want to pick it back up again. It's just this thing. It's like, why do I keep doing that? I just got to constantly just being willing to surrender every area of my life. If it's not one thing, I just go, okay, I should really trust God more in this area of my life. I should lay that down. The older I get, the more I am so grateful for God's grace, mercy, and his patience with me. Anybody else with me on that? The older I get, the gladder I am that God wants to improve me, make me the best that I can be, or ever I could be on my own or in my own strength or use of the abilities and talents that he's given me. I just love the idea that God's not finished with us yet. And I love the idea that God actually has this idea and plan and purpose for what we can become that we don't see ourselves. And probably a lot of us don't believe we can become that. But God goes, no, stick with me, kid, and you'll go places. And it's like you're sitting here this morning and you kind of like, if you're filled with self-doubt, if you feel as though you've got nothing to offer God, that's just one of the greatest lies that you can swallow in life that will hinder you and limit you from reaching your full potential in God. Because God goes, hey, just trust me. I've got this. I actually made you. I know how you think. I know what you're thinking right now. I know what you thought last summer. I know what you did last summer. I still love you. Isn't that phenomenal that like we have this God that there's nothing that we can do that will cause him to love us less? Think about that. So for some of us, didn't spend a great deal of time with Jesus this week. We didn't read our Bible. We didn't pray. God still loves you. And if you didn't pick up your Bible and you didn't ever read it again, he still will love you. I don't suggest you do that, by the way. But can you, like, it messes with my head that there is this God that doesn't matter what I do. It's not going to, because we are so programmed to be conditional about our love. And that if I do this, then God's actually going to bless my life. And if I read my Bible and I spend time in his presence, then I'm going to be more blessed than this person. To a degree, that is true because it's about intimacy with God. But if it's a works-based thing, if I'm thinking to myself, the motivation is that if I do this, then this is going to be the outcome, it's the wrong motivation for doing it in the first place. And so there's this God that goes, hey, I'm not finished with you yet. Are you open to me shaping and forming and molding your life? I hope we are. So that's the first thing that I take out of this, that none of us have attained, none of us. And even the Apostle Paul here, he says that himself. He's not perfect. The second thing that I pick up out of this, which may be of an encouragement to some, number two, there's a reminder to persevere. There's a reminder to press on. And it's emphasized and it's said in different ways throughout these two verses, but to press on, to reach forward, to lay a hold of, to press towards. So there's this idea that there is this kind of like this race, this battle, this fight, that it takes effort.
It takes an intentional, conscious effort that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a passive sit back and just let it happen. It actually takes some effort and action on my behalf where I just go, I've got to press forward. We're called to persevere, endure, stick it out, to hang in there, to hold on, to hold tight. And that's not with the mentality that we should just be scraping through. Sometimes in life, there'll be a season where it may be like that, but God has actually gifted us salvation and relationship with Him so that we would live as more than conquerors, not just scraping through. I mean, nowhere in Scripture does it promise or say to us that we're going to live life, a Christian life, problem-free. Doesn't say that. So if Scripture says to us that we are more than likely going to have trials and tribulations and challenges and issues, then it should be no surprise when they happen. But some of us are surprised. Or maybe let me put it this way. When I actually say that the Bible doesn't promise us a problem-free life, some of us smile and just go, that's so true. But let me ask you then, if you're smiling, how did you react the last time a problem came? What was your response? What was your reflex response when a problem came? In 2016, how did you respond to your problems? What was your response? Was it to be gripped by anxiety or to get overwhelmed by the problem? To get caught up in the emotion? And we know there's certain people that love the drama. If they don't have a drama, they'll create one so they can have a drama. Not in our church, that's other churches. But like, how did you respond to your problem? Think about a problem that you had this year and how you actually responded to that. Was it one of negativity? Was it one of fear? Was it one of like, oh no, what's going to happen? What was your response? Because I just said the Bible doesn't promise us that we're not going to have problems. We are going to have problems, so therefore we can actually determine and we can purpose in our hearts. We can fortify our spirits to go when a problem does come. We don't go looking for them. They'll find us. But when they do happen, we've actually already resolved within our thinking and our spirits how I'm going to respond to that problem. So in 2017, don't react and respond the way you did in 2016. Problems are going to come. Thanks, Pastor Phil. I'm not prophesying that we're going to have problems in 2017. It's a part of life. I don't have to be a prophet to say that. I hope there's not many problems. And if problems do come, we're called not to do that in isolation on our own strength. First of all, we should go to God, but we should have godly people around us that will love and support us through. So how are you going to respond to hardships when they hit? Maybe it's a hardship or a problem that's hit you this year that has caused your passion and love for Jesus to be less today than it was at the start of the year. So maybe it's worth actually evaluating that problem and how you responded and reacted to the problem to go, you know what, I'm not going to allow that to happen again. I'm not going to allow a problem to rob me of my joy, of my relationship with God. See, the size of my problem or issue doesn't change who God is. Our belief and understanding of who God is will determine our belief and understanding of what God can do. But regardless of our belief of how big God is, the problems we get faced with don't actually change who God is. He is still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's on the throne. He's not part of a democratic process, which is being made a mockery of this year in a certain country in the world, but we won't go there about politics. But we have he's not subject to that democratic process. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And so he is reigning and he is ruling. I love the fact that God says that he has a plan for our lives, and at times there's things that don't make sense to us within our finite thinking. But he just simply says, follow me, trust me, listen to me. If you obey my word, I will know that you love me. Others will know that you love me. And I will actually work it out. His promise to you and me is that he will work it out. And he will work it out for good. That's his promise. And he doesn't renege on his promises. His promises are yes and amen. So if you're in the midst of a storm right now, and this might sound a bit cheesy, might sound a bit cliché-ish, but it's the word of God to us that he works all things together for our good. I hold on to that. I held on to that this year. Because in the midst of the darkness, I mean, this time of year around Advent and the coming of Christ, that he gave up the splendor of heaven, which there is no darkness in heaven whatsoever, but he came into darkness to bring light, to bring hope, to bring purpose, to bring salvation, to bring healing, to bring all that we need so we can be back into right relationship with him. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it." He who calls us is faithful, and he will do what his word says he will do. And we're called to hold on to him, to persevere, to press on, to keep trusting him to persevere. The third thing, the last thing that I see here that relates to the coming to the end of 1 year and looking at a new year is we need to forget the things behind us. We need to forget the things behind us. Verse 13, if you cast your eyes back on that, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." So he says that we're called to forget the things which are behind. In my limited experience as a pastor, one of the greatest limiting factors in people's lives is people carry the burden of the past and it weighs them down so much that they can't run in the freedom of the future that God's got for them. And yet we have this incredible God that says, "I have taken that mistake, that shame, that guilt that you have carrying, I've taken that and I want to take that burden from you so that you can run free." And yet we choose to hold on to it. And so when it talks about forgetting here, it says that actually means, that word forgetting means rid the mind of, cognitively be ignorant of or unaware of those things in the past. That is to make a conscious decision to not focus on or not dwell on or in those things from our past. To make a conscious decision not to. Nobody else can do that for you or me. Nobody else can make that conscious decision for you to forget your past, to leave it behind you. I'm not talking about ignoring the past. I'll come to that in a minute, that we're called to learn from those things. But not allow those things to weigh heavily and to limit us and to hold us back. It's telling us that we should rid those things from our mind. It's like what it's saying is that we should evict the bad tenant that's not paying rent. It's nothing but a burden and a liability in our minds and our spirits and our hearts. And we should evict them from our minds and hearts and create space for the Spirit of God to come and bring life and freedom and grace and joy and peace and the possibility of creating some new fresh memories in God that we can hold on to and ones worth actually remembering, that aren't a burden but are liberating and freeing. I mean, if we think about the author here, if we think about Paul, if anyone had some stuff to forget, it's this guy. You think about his life. If you don't know who the Apostle Paul was, he was Saul, became Paul. We're talking about a guy that was raised and educated and trained with the best of the best, within the religious circles, within the sphere of life that he was highly respected, he was revered, he was an ambitious guy, he was driven. He was a man on a mission. He was the up-and-coming golden child superstar of the world at that time, the Jewish community of that time. Everyone knew who he was. He was like the golden child. He knew the law inside out, and he was certainly proud to be the enforcer of that law. He made sure that it was held to so religiously, strictly tight. And heaven help anyone that got in the way, because he inflicted so much pain and suffering for so many. I mean, he had the authority and the power, and he had people tortured. He had people condemned to death. Has anyone done that lately? Anyone had someone tortured? Please don't put up your hand, actually. I don't want to know. But he had people condemned to death. We know that he was actually standing by when Stephen, after he had professed faith in Christ and he was stoned to death, we see that Saul was standing by watching these things happen. So I don't know what plagues your mind. I'm not sure what's from your past that's a burden in your mind and your heart. But if anyone's in a position of authority to speak about these things, I mean, whether you talk about in the natural sense, Paul was a guy who had great success. He was a guy that was revered and respected. He had status. He had fame. He was recognition. He had position. He had power. He had all of those things that he had to contend with in his mind. And then he also had all of those things that he had done, the persecution and the torturing and the deaths that he was responsible for. He had to carry all that around. I'm wondering when he was being shipwrecked and beaten and stuff like that. I wonder if ever he just thought, oh man, it'd be so much easier if I was Saul right now. You know, man, I'd be kicking back, having grapes being fed to me, having the palm leaves waving, and I'd be sitting pretty right now. You know, like instead, I'm just getting snot beaten out of me right now. And you know, wrestling with that. I don't know what struggles, but if anyone has the authority to challenge us about forgetting what is behind, it's this guy. And he says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. I think that Paul very well knew that one of the greatest challenges and battles that any of us will have is the battle of our past that replays itself over and over, if we allow it to, in the memory of our mind. How many times we replay situations and circumstances of the past, like it's ultra high def in our memory. It's just there. We allow it to be replayed, and we're the ones that are pressing repeat over and over. And Paul says, this one thing I do. So it's a priority for him. He's emphasizing that this is really important for us to actually grasp and get. He wants us to be really clear. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. What are we called to forget? Well, we're called to forget those things which are behind. When I looked up the word behind, it had backside. It had rear. So we're called to forget our rear, forget our backside, and press forward. Some of us have got a big behind that we need to actually just leave behind, not focus on our behind, but look forward. How do you make your behind smaller? You've got to move forward. Like, if you don't move, it's still going to be there. If you don't keep moving forward, running, pressing forward, lunging, whatever you need to do, pressing, leg pressing forward, it's still going to be a big behind. But the more I move forward and keep moving, the smaller that my behind gets. Are you with me? You're not going to remember anything else except that some of us have got big behinds. Yes, we're called to learn from what has happened in the past, not repeat those mistakes. But we can't let those things have power and authority in our lives, in our minds, and in our thinking. When, if there was anyone that didn't deserve the grace of God in the New Testament era, it was Saul. But if God can forgive him and empower him, fill him with his presence and love and grace and forgiveness, if God can do that for Saul, who the hell do you think you are that you don't qualify for that? We have this God that says, hey, I have a plan for your life. I've got great things that I want you to do. Don't let your big behind get in the way of you moving into the fullness of what I've got for you. So we need to learn from our mistakes. But the Bible also encourages us that we should actually remember the good things that God has done. God's challenge to the children of Israel was regularly just reflect on these things, remember these things, pass them on from generation to generation, the great things that God has done for the children of Israel, getting them out of Egypt and the mighty miracles that he performed and through the sea and providing for in the desert, and to remind future generations of God's blessing and his goodness. So right now on your piece of paper from 2016, I want you just to think of three things that you can be grateful for. The fact that you are sitting here today and breathing, if you can't think of anything else, there's one. If you can't think of number two, just write down, Pastor Phil loves me. That's number two. And number three, make something up. They're the only two I can think of. Obviously not quick enough. But just three things. Right now, I want you to think of three things that you can be thankful for from 2016. This year, some things that I really thank God for the life of our church. As you can see there, we revisited and, I guess, redefined, in a sense, fine-tuned our mission, vision, which is listed there, and out of that, a strategic plan that we've implemented this year, and some great action has come out of that and will continue to come out of that in 2017. And we're excited about that, that we are being more intentional and strategic about moving towards fulfilling the vision that God has given us. And if you don't have a copy of that vision statement document that we've got, we'd love for you to have a copy of that. So please feel free to email us or call the office and we'll send you one so you can actually have a look at that. But that was some of the good things that came out of us. And I could go on and on about what God has done through our departments and, as I said, life groups and the different things that we've done in Malawi and what God has done and doing through Compass Community Care. And there are so many good things that we can thank God for. But I think there's some things that we need to leave behind. We can't, some of us can actually get stuck in the success of 2016 and actually try to just keep living the success of 2016 and miss out on the great that God's got in 2017. And we just go, oh, 2016 was so cool in this area. How good was that? Unreal, praise God, we thank him for it, but kingdom of God is advancing. There are still thousands upon thousands of people within our community that don't know Jesus yet. And if we just want to become a social gathering that we just go, well, I just like the church the size it is. So do I. I love our church the size it is. But I cannot rest when there are people facing a crisis eternity in the surrounding streets around us. And if we think that our comfort is more important or my desire to keep things the way they are is more important than somebody's eternal destiny, then you and I have an issue. Because we cannot rest. We cannot settle. When we know that brothers, sisters, mums, dads represented in this room are facing a crisis eternity. And this wonderful Jesus that I have this relationship with, I want others to experience that too. I can't be selfish with that. So we have so much more that we want to do. So whatever success we've experienced up until this point, we've got to leave it behind and press on towards the upward call that's in Christ Jesus. Press on. Grab a hold of it. Keep pushing forward. Keep trusting. Keep believing. I don't want you to write this down, but maybe you can just think of just one or two things that you can leave behind. Moving into 2017, maybe it's how you respond to problems when they arise. Maybe there's an issue in your life, a burden that you've been carrying. That's a real, it's just weighing you down. And you just got to make that determined decision that only you can make. No one can make that for you. You're just going to go, I'm going to leave that behind in 2017. And if you're not sure how to do that, we'd love to talk with you and pray with you. And if we need to find the right support and means for that to actually happen, then we will do that. We're committed to that. But maybe there's one or two things you can just think of straight away. What do you need to leave behind in 2017 so you can walk into the fullness of what God's got for you? What is it? And if you don't think you've got anything to leave behind, think about it. Let's pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, all of us have stuff that we need to leave behind. It might be small, might be large. For some it may be guilt, shame. Maybe it's a mistake that you think disqualifies you from moving forward in freedom. God's grace is sufficient. Maybe for some of us in this room, it's an attitude that we're carrying that, if we were to be honest, we just know it's not the right attitude. Maybe it's some bitterness that we hold towards someone, a gripe, a beef, a niggle, a fear, a sin. Some of us, it may just be that we just know that some of our decisions and choices that we make don't line up with God's word. And in 2017, you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to make that courageous call more than ever before to align myself with God's word and how I live my life in every area of my life. Maybe that's what you need to leave behind. I was struck with Paul, that he had to overcome the perception or the view of the other apostles towards him as he began to minister. That there was those, the other disciples had to come to a place where there's this guy that had persecuted everybody and done so much damage, and they had to forgive him and they had to actually release him into ministry. And as I was praying this week, I just want to encourage people in this room that as a church, we're called not to judge. We're not called to condemn anybody that walks into our church family. We have this amazing God that is the God of the second, third, fifth, tenth chance. Not that we want to abuse his grace, but for some of us, it's not about looking at others and us determining whether we think they qualify to minister for the Lord or not. That is not our call. But that we would actually kind of just look in the mirror and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Not comparing ourselves to others, not measuring others up, but just actually going before the Lord and say, God, what is it you want to do in my life? What is it that I need to leave behind? Personalizing it, making it about me so that I can actually move forward in freedom. So Father, this morning as we sit, and with this bunch of random thoughts that have come out of this passage in Philippians, Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. I thank you that there is so much talent, ability, gifting in this room, that you've given us everything we need right now in regards to resource and people in this room right now for us to see the city of Glen Eira one for Jesus. I really believe that. And if we'd all be committed to your kingdom cause and your kingdom purposes, Father, we truly can see Jesus Christ exalted and honored like never before in this city. So we thank you for everything that you have done for us up until this point. But God, we want to look forward. We don't want to be looking behind. We want to leave the behind, and we want to press on more and more into what you have for us, individuals, families, businesses, but together as a church family. So, Father, I pray you give us the courage to do that. Give us the strength to do that. Right now, I just pray for peace for those that may be struggling with the reality of having to give something up. Maybe the fear that comes with that, the unknown, the thoughts of how hard it is to actually give that up. Thank you, Father, that you're with us, that you said that you'll never leave us or forsake us, and you say, fear not, for I am with you. Just speak freedom. This morning I speak peace. Speak courage. Just want to wait on God just for maybe 2 minutes, church. If we can just allow just 2 minutes just to sit. Because I know God is speaking to hearts right now. Holy Spirit, we honor your presence in this place right now. If you're open to God speaking to you this morning, why don't you just have your own conversation with him right now, where you say, Father, come to you and I just want to leave these things behind. I want to do what this passage says. I want to press on. I want to lay hold. I want to press towards. I want to forget those things which are behind. I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. I am not the same. Just felt that was a word for people in this room this morning. As I was driving to church this morning, just there were some lyrics out of a song. It's just like, I am not the same. And for some of us in the room, we desire not to stay the same. And God hears that prayer. I encourage you this morning that as you press into him, as you draw close and draw near to him, and allow him to do the transformational work in your life, you won't be the same. I pray that at the end of 2017 that we could say, I am not the same. I don't want to be the same. I want to be more like Jesus. I am not the same. Thank you, Father, that right now you're speaking to hearts. I am not the same. I am not the same. I am not the same. Jesus, use me. I am not the same. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father, as 2016 comes to a close, just truly want to honour you and thank you for all that you have done. Father, for every man, woman and child that is here and calls Compass Church home, it's only but by your grace. Jesus, we desire Compass Church to be all about you, for you. Jesus, for you to be at the centre of it all. That if there is anything on our lips when we leave our time together, it's just you, Jesus. Because you're the only one that can truly save, truly set free. We love you, Jesus, and we just thank you that you're not done with us yet. And we choose to hold on to you. We leave the behind behind. And we look forward to 2017, an unprecedented year in so many ways. I ask your blessing upon each person here, each family represented, Father, from the oldest to the youngest. Lord, there are so many needs represented in this room and people that we connect with. Thank you that we can come to you with all of that and just declare that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So for healing where it's needed, we just pray healing, speak healing. For work, finance, we just speak that out in Jesus' name. For relationships, thank you, Lord. May you be honored and glorified in all we do, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's been great having you in church this morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message.
For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.